is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. I welcome the former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Ernesto Araújo, to comment on Brazil and the attack by the Islamic Republic of Iran on Israel and its allies in these last hours, reminding everyone that Jordan shot down some of the drones, Britain shot down some of the drones, France sent a warship, other voices very strong in Europe in support of Israel that was attacked. But, Ernesto, a very good evening to you. Lula da Silva, over these last years, and especially I'm thinking of the two Iranian warships that were given docking privileges at Rio de Janeiro, the beginning of 2023, Lula da Silva, the third time elected president, has not made a secret of his affection, conversation, alliance, all these words are vague, with Iran. The remarks after the attack, how do you interpret them, and what do you believe the relationship is going forward between Brasilia and Tehran? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think that, unfortunately, Brazil under Lula is more and more aligned and serviceable to the totalitarian bloc formed by China, Russia, and Iran. As you said, Lula's sympathy for Iran is not new. We can also recall the 2010 diplomatic operation when Lula and Erdogan went to Tehran and made a deal with Ahmadinejad, then president of Iran, that would facilitate actually the Iranian nuclear program, theoretically for peaceful purposes, but actually it would facilitate the program. And since then, it's been apparent that Lula and his team are not only ideological affinity for the totalitarians, but they want to do their job in helping them. So unfortunately, this is reflected in the Brazilian official reaction to the Iranian attack. They used language that is so soft that people are laughing about it in Brazil. The way they portrayed it in Portuguese, it's like Iran had sent by mail missiles and drones to Israel. There's the point itself of the attack and how the international community, if it acts like Brazil, it invites more attacks by Iran and Iran's proxies, because if you don't condemn, you create an international atmosphere that is prone to accept, that is permeable to those attacks. But more than that, I think it's more and more clear that Brazil under Lula is becoming a part of whatever game is being played by the totalitarian regime. It's obvious that Iran has coordinated that attack with Russia, that probably with China in a way or another. What is Brazil doing there? Regarding Gaza, Brazil has done a horrible job in calling up Israel for genocide. So it's It has a function, I think, of making all the developing world seeing, okay, that's the right position to take, because Brazil is still seen as a leader in a way. So it basically, what Brazil is doing, this job of taking part, at least, of the developing world away from Western values and from actually the support for Israel actually from the support for a peaceful world, because they are creating a world where attackers are never condemned, are never called to answer for their crimes, be it Russia, be it Iran, be it the terrorists. So it's very sad, but this is portrayed by Lula and his propaganda machine as neutrality and pragmatism. It's not. It's not pragmatism. It's just aligning yourself with the aggressors. It's aligning yourself with those who want to explicitly to destroy a country, destroy a nation. That's what Iran wants. But I think more and more people are waking up to it. Last but not least, Iran, as you said, is present in Brazil. They send their warships. So they sent. Well, they are sending to the whole of South America. They are sending military support and whatever else to Venezuela, to Bolivia. So they are, from the Brazilian point of view, they are inside Brazil in a way, and around Brazil. Hezbollah has been operating in Brazil. So also Lula wants to give this image that, okay, it's not our business. It's Israel's and Iran's business. We don't have nothing with that. No, Brazil in a way is under attack from Iran. Whenever you have organized crime in Brazil, PCC and the other gangs doing whatever they do in Brazil, they have connections to Hezbollah in Bolivia, in Venezuela. So it's a global issue, and Brazil, unfortunately, is on the wrong side.
The question of being on the right and wrong side also extends to censorship in Brazil. All of these matters, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranian attack, the Ukraine war, all of it is subject to being filtered in some fashion or limited, if I read correctly, from this new story about Twitter files in Brazil. Initially, I thought this was about Elon Musk being his usual provocative self, and a member of the Supreme Court, Alejandro de Moraes, had taken offense. But right now, de Moraes is spreading his censorship far beyond the richest man in the solar system to persecuting Brazilian citizens. Now, this is too big of a story to contain in one paragraph. But what I understand is this: the de Moraes is punishing or threatening or limiting the ability of Brazilians to operate on Twitter in some fashion and alerting them that they can be prosecuted, arrested. How far has he gone?
Well, he went all the way to including change the possible results of the elections back in 2022. And I think that's the main issue that will come more and more to light. So, yes, Elon Musk, he's not... I think he doesn't get into anything just for fun. I mean, he has now really chosen Brazil and this judge that you pointed as a target for his program of defending free speech around the world. I believe he's sincere in that. In any case, this is making all the change for Brazil. So now that the world is seeing through Elon Musk what is happening in Brazil, we have a hope to change that. So I think the core of the issue comes back to 2022. And Lula with, Elon Musk with all the files that he has from Twitter, he is proving that Alexandre de Moraes, who was then not only a member of the Supreme Court, but the head of the Electoral Court, illegally pressed Twitter to reveal personal data of users identified with Bolsonaro and the right. He demanded access to Twitter's internal data, and Twitter gave, because it was not under Elon Musk back then. And Twitter agreed, without any explicit court order, to remove contents and cancel supporters of Bolsonaro, people with hundreds and thousands, millions of followers who were making a difference in the electoral scenario. Those people were canceled, were censored, their posts were removed, their even in many cases their accounts were blocked without any court order, just by pressure. And Elon Musk has revealed communications coming from the Electoral Court, from Moraes, saying basically, oh, we want you to remove this and that account, but don't talk about that, and don't make it clear to the people, to the victims of those cancellations, where this come from, because they knew it was illegal, so they couldn't reveal. So Twitter, and this was also done with YouTube and other platforms, but now Twitter is revealing that. So this was done under the cover of the night, without any warning, and this may have changed the results of the election, because this was done during those decisive final weeks before the election, first round and second round, especially the second round. Okay, so I think, and this is part of the whole process of censorship that goes on, with threatening and intimidation against communicators and journalists in Brazil and from elsewhere. Recently a Portuguese journalist was coming to Brazil and he was detained for several hours in the federal police. So what are you coming to do in Brazil? Because they knew he was, a supporter also of conservative politicians of Bolsonaro. So this is coming to light finally.
Is it your information that the public is aware of this now? I'm reading it on an English language site. Has this been communicated to the Brazilians that they're being censored without recourse?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. No, Brazilians have known that for a long time, especially those who suffer from that censorship, because it's totally unilateral, only against the conservatives, only against the right, only against Bolsonaro supporters. So, but what was happening is that the Brazilian media was covering this up, or even incentivizing this, because they say, oh, either they said it's not true, or they said, oh, those are extremists and radicals, and they deserve whatever censorship happens against them, because this is to protect democracy. The press, the mainstream media was all in favor of Moraes' actions. Now they are no longer, they can't cover for him anymore. So a good part of the mainstream media, they are abandoning, they are throwing Moraes under the bus. There are many editorials from newspapers that used to be totally supportive of his censorship. Now he's saying, no, he's abusing his duties, and the Supreme Court as a whole is abusing their powers. So something very big is happening. I think they are seeing that they can no longer support such explicit inequality and constitutionality.
Does this connect to the administrative offices, the president's office? Is there reason to believe there's conversation between the executive and the judiciary?
Yes. No, there are all sorts of agreements and conversations, which could be illegal as well. But it's not a secret that Lula and the whole system of his administration, they are in permanent contact with the Supreme Court and the Electoral Court to keep canceling and censoring what they call the anti-democratic extremists, but basically it's their political adversaries.
What we're looking at is the same style that is practiced in China, the great big wall that you can't, the red wall that you can't get past. But Brazil is censoring its own citizens. It's allowing its citizens to know that it's being censored. And no one's doing anything about it, right? There's nobody there to do anything about it because it's the Supreme Court that is doing it.
Exactly. It's the authorities that are responsible for the Constitution that are breaking the Constitution. That's the big issue. Congress, which should supervise the Supreme Court, they don't do anything as well. Right. Why? Because the Supreme Court has put a stone over any accusations of corruption against senators and members of the chamber. So there's clearly a pact whereby the Senate, which was supposed to supervise the Supreme Court, doesn't do anything about it, and the Supreme Court doesn't bring to justice the corrupt senators, which unfortunately are very many.
The second most populous state in the Americas, Brazil, is no longer transparent when it comes to social media, when it comes to censorship of social media, and when it comes to the vote. Speaking with Ernesto Araújo, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.